Mary Barra, the CEO of GM, a few years ago, she was at one of those Goldman Sachs industry conferences. And what she told the CEO of Goldman was that an EV has 10% of the moving parts of an ICE, and that they could easily go 1 million miles or more. An ICE goes, if it's a Toyota like mine, it'll go 300,000 miles. You know, if it's a Ford, it'll go 50,000 miles.
Good afternoon. Welcome to North Point of View. Good to see you, Walter. It's been a while.
Yeah, way too long.
Yeah. How you been?
Oh, man, I've been all over the place, working on all kinds of things.
Same here.
Yeah.
Same here. Let's jump into EV. I mean, I know that was one of our big topics. It's been something we've been talking about for 3-4 years.
Right.
And you and I took a little bit of heat.
Right.
About a year ago, we had some viewers that were sort of a, I don't know, didn't like the way we were presenting certain things.
Right.
And I get it.
Yeah.
I get it. And we try to take the macro.
Mm-hmm.
We look at all these things. But the proof is in the pudding.
Exactly.
Right? And the sweater got the rip, and now the whole thing's going unraveled, right?
Oh, absolutely. Actually, I don't think it even was intact in the first place. I mean, it was a manufacturing defect.
Yeah. Where does that land? Let's just start really big picture.
Oh, wait a minute. That feedback with one of it was that I'm never going to watch one of your podcasts again. Oh, come on. We were not being political. We weren't being anti-environmental or anything
Yeah, we are. We're pro sustainability, but it's got to make economic sense.
Exactly.
And the grid wasn't there. The platform wasn't built. All the pieces were not in place, to your point. It was a defect. It was a defective plan from the start.
Right. You know, it's kind of like I'm going to go on vacation, so I bring, and I'm going to go camping in the forest. And so I bring a lot of electronics with me, but not batteries. And so once whatever charge I have in the equipment is there, it's gone. I mean, you know, these cars, we go up and down the interstates. Where do you stop to recharge them? How long does it take? Do the chargers work? I was at a McKinsey.
Compatible.
No, well, no, even worse. McKinsey, we had an EV conference, I don't know, about a year ago. And I asked, you know, how well do these chargers work? Because there's a hotel I stay at when I visit my son. I saw the charger broke, and it was like in the spring. And then I came back in the summer and the fall and the winter, and the charger was still broken. So I asked the ground manager. I saw him. I go, what's going on? Don't you guys support, you know, EVs anymore? And they go, absolutely. In fact, we're trying to get that one fixed, and we need another one, but you can't get parts. Mm. And this is before, you know, April 2nd, reciprocal tariffs and all that. Yeah, it was last year. And it was exactly what, so 70% of the time they work, 30% of the time they don't work. You have to get in line. It takes a long time to charge the cars. We don't have enough charging stations. It's hard to build that up. And so you come up with the product that can't be serviced. That's what it was. And that's fundamentally why we didn't like it. Until that gets resolved, but they could be pushing HEVs, the hybrid electric vehicles.
Yeah.
We like the hybrid electric vehicles. In fact, up the street here, there's a new automobile plant, and they're going to produce HEVs. So that made sense. It's tragic to watch all of the write-offs and closures of EV production. Like Ford said, the EF-150, And GM wrote off $1.6 billion of investments in EVs. And they said they were going to write off more. They just didn't know how much more yet. But it stands to reason it'll be north of $2 billion. So a lot of money went in and basically went down the drain.
I know we've got a colleague of ours, Jim, that has talked in the past about the consolidation of the automotive companies. you know, going from sort of 35 mainline companies down to, you know, less than a dozen. Does that help or hurt?
Oh, I think
the way it is.
No, it'll help. It will help. But you got to put that in context. You know, consolidation in the auto industry has been ongoing since the 20s. You know, you look at General Motors, they were Cadillac and, you know, Lincoln. Oh, exactly. So all those brands got bought up that way because the U.S. auto industry had lots and lots of manufacturers after Henry Ford got things kicked off. And then there were too many. There wasn't enough oxygen. So they consolidated. Europe has a lot of brands that consolidated, like Volkswagen bought Seat and, you know, from Spain. You know, the cars, the brands of cars made in Eastern Europe, I don't think those got bought up. I'm not sure. Like the Yugo and stuff like that.
Yeah, let that one go.
Exactly. You know, it was too hopeless.
Hang on a second.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. Did you ever get in one of those?
Once.
Oh, my gosh. You're so claustrophobic. Anyways.
We could go through a top 10 or a bottom 10 list, right? Yeah. The Pacer. Do you remember the Thing?
Oh, my gosh.
Volkswagen?
Yes. Oops. Oh, man. Well, my very first car, you know, was a Ford Pinto.
All right.
Yeah. It was 2 years old. I bought it in 76. It was a 74 model.
Ever catch on fire?
No, but it was like a few days later, the news hits. Oh, the gas tank's too close to the rear bumper, and this thing is a firebomb hazard. And so I really learned to look a lot in my rearview mirror.
Sure. So context, I didn't think this is where this conversation was going, but it could be worse, right?
Yes, exactly. Oh, man. Well, you know, the auto industry, you know, you see some of the economics of the auto industry are tough.
Yeah.
You know, a new platform for like a new set of cars is $1 billion investment.
Right. Years and hundreds of millions of dollars.
Exactly. And it doesn't really matter if it's a high-end luxury car or your basic, you know, podunk car.
Right.
So the problem is if you're designing it to be an economic car, then you have to plan on selling millions and millions in order to recoup the investment. With luxury cars, it's a little easier. So automobile makers face difficulties. They started betting too heavily on the more economical cars, and the sales weren't there because everybody started shifting to SUVs. We all like an SUV, but they found a way to make a more fuel-efficient SUV, so it hasn't really been that bad. But shifting to the HEVs and then maybe someday really to the EVs is going to be massive investment.
Yeah, and I know we've talked hydrogen a little bit. There's more that's coming out about hydrogen.
Yeah.
And the Hyundai Meta plant, they continue to sort of talk about, you know, their hydrogen initiatives. So stay tuned, right?
Well, yeah, but Toyota has for 20 years said, we really shouldn't be going electric. We should be going hydrogen. They've got models that work. The only thing is why don't they make lots of them? Well, where do you go fill a hydrogen-fueled car? And so he pointed out that it's very easy to fix the infrastructure to include hydrogen. We've got diesel and gasoline in stations in Brazil. You also get CNG in the same fueling station. You just add a hydrogen tank and off, you know, Bob's your uncle, you know? So.
And I don't know what the percentage is, but I know that there are hydrogen trucks on the roads in Europe, right?
Yes, they are.
It's a lot more common, right? So,
well, dual fuel is normal in almost the whole world. You see the problems of why not the U.S.? Well, here's the reason: we have tons of oil.
Yes,
or tons. I mean, we may be the largest, you know, oil reserve in the planet.
Yes.
You know, the fracking makes a big difference. And so when you have that much oil and we don't tax the hell out of it like they do in Europe, cars are, you know, ICEs, internal combustion engine cars, oh my gosh, they're just extremely efficient. And but in other parts of the world where there's a lot of volatility, uncertainty of supply, you'll find that they'll get a dual fuel car, so you know the driver can switch in case you know he can't find the other fuel that he's running out of, or she, you know.
So consolidation, EVs going to take a far back seat. Probably some new initiatives taking over. You're going to see some plants that are either closed or retrofit into the hybrid production or even hydrogen.
So here's something interesting on that. Mary Barra, the CEO of GM, a few years ago, say about, I don't know, 5-6 years ago, she was at one of those Goldman Sachs industry conferences. You know, every Wall Street bank has industries come in and the CEOs talk and yada, yada. And what she told the CEO of Goldman was that an EV has 10% of the moving parts of an ICE and that they could easily go 1 million miles or more. So, you know, an ICE goes, if it's a Toyota like mine, it'll go 300,000 miles. You know, if it's a Ford, it'll go 50,000 miles. I'm still pissed off about that Pinto. Okay. I shouldn't have brought it up.
Yeah.
Oh, man. But
and I'm with you on both of those. We've had two Toyotas that were in the well into the 200s.
Yeah. It just, so what he didn't ask her, but he should have, is, will people want to keep their cars for 1 million miles?
Some people will.
You know, my car is 22 years old.
Walter will.
Yes, I will. But, you know, my special circumstance, you know, with my wife's bad back, she can still get in and out of that car. Oh, the seats are perfect.
Yeah.
And so she said, if you ever sell it, I will kill you. So you have to plan for, you know, fleet replacement, what things are going to be like in the future. And, you know, we really do need an alternative plan for the world on how do we get away from, you know, fuels that, you know, are not helping the environment. But you can't do haphazard stuff. You can't do an Inflation Reduction Act and start building EV plants because the market wasn't there. You know, when I worked on the Georgia DOT Transportation Investment Plan, you know, the long one out to 2050, we had to think long and hard about EVs.
Yeah.
It's very complicated. Like in an apartment complex, you know, somebody has to provide places where you're going to plug the car in. And then how do you charge those people for that, as opposed to the ICE guys who don't cause a cost to the apartment complex? How do you share these things? I mean, would you?
Well, that's part of the reason that was part of the inherent flaw, right?
Yeah.
Is how does that cost get pushed out through the system?
Exactly.
And because nobody could figure that out, they didn't invest in it.
Mm-hmm.
And then basically the market crumbled.
Yeah, actually, what system?
Yeah.
There was no system. It was like, oh, let's just make electric cars. Now, but eventually we will have level 5, you know, in autonomous vehicles, they talk about L1, L2, 3, 4, 5. So we do have L3s out there. Some Japanese brands, they pretty much only sell them in Japan, but they work really well.
I was in LA a couple months ago. There are surprisingly large number of autonomous vehicles on the road out there.
Yeah. And, you know, it's a little dangerous, though. But the problem with that technology, again, it's kind of premature. We need the road infrastructure that these cars drive on. I mean, we're acting like these cars are going to be able to drive off into the desert someplace where you can go camping. And, you know, it's going to replicate the way a human drives. And it's...
We're not there yet.
No, we're not there. That, and that's like 2% of the use of vehicles. What you need are things on the streets, on the roads, kind of like when you get a modern car these days, you can turn the radar on and it can read the stripes on the side of the, you know, marking the lanes, and it keeps you in the lane, you know. I've tried out a few times taking my hands off the steering wheel, doing a curve of 95, and the car does it, but eventually it starts beeping, and put your hands back on the wheel.
Walter, pay attention.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, that gave me a thought of our next talk. We do need to dive into AI.
Yes.
Good to be with you. Good to see you again, Walter.
Absolutely. Let's do this again real soon.
All right, we'll do it.
All right.
Thanks, guys.
Take care.